Good morning, Sean. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Thanks, mate. Thanks for joining us on here this morning. So Boko Haram, just to unpack it for us a little bit, what is the latest? What's the latest news on Boko Haram?
Well, it's a sad state of affairs, Sean. For some time now, the word out has been that Boko Haram has been largely defeated by the Nigerian government. They've been becoming less and less of a problem. There'd been a very strict and severe law and order response, military response by the Nigerians. And up in that northeastern part of Nigeria where they've been operating for some time, things had been calming down since that kidnapping a couple of years ago from all those schoolgirls. But we've had a series of very violent and very deadly attacks over the last week or so, and the worst, as you said, with those villagers killed. And that was a horrific example of Boko Haram's modus operandi, with a whole series of militant attackers and some suicide bombers killing villagers pretty much indiscriminately. And one of the terrible things that seems to have happened up in northeast Nigeria last week was a whole series of villagers were attacked, and allegedly it seems that large numbers of these villagers retreated to the safety of a large tree in their village compound, where they gathered to have their communal meetings and so on. And while they were gathered en masse under this large tree, one of the suicide bombers seems to have been able to sneak into that group and detonate themselves and destroy large numbers of men, women and children.
Mm. You did mention there that, late last year, the Nigerian military claimed they'd wiped out all of Boko Haram's camps, all of the camps that the Boko Haram were currently using. Was this true, and how are they still operating if that was the case?
Well, these are guerrilla forces, and I think that's what we need to understand when we read headlines around military or traditional defense operations against terrorist organizations. You've got to think of terrorism in a spectrum between it and insurgency, including guerrilla campaigns. That means that quite often when you have a terrorist organization, they are largely impervious to the sorts of operations that military forces, you know, are very good at. You know, military forces are good at taking ground, taking territory, destroying bases, destroying infrastructure, finding hardware like tanks and so on, or you know, different forms of military hardware, and destroying it. I mean, these are things that the nation states' armies are very, very good at doing. Terrorists, however, generally speaking, will be able to melt into the background, melt into the populations, into urban situations, into forests, into jungles, operate in small-scale groupings, often very mobile, a lot of anonymity, very, very simple technology in terms of their arms, you know, things like dynamite and bombs and small arms, AK-47s and so on. And these sorts of strategies and tactics of terrorists are really the hallmark, largely, of what terrorism is and why it is such a successful, really, in many ways, but also menacing form of political revolt and insurgency.
Well, when we talk about the success Boko Haram has had, I must admit the numbers surprised me somewhat when I started looking into Boko Haram yesterday, or not long after the news had come out. The current insurgency since 2009, the current form of Boko Haram, has killed some 20,000 people and displaced another 2.3 million. These are big numbers. These are bigger numbers than I think a lot of us are aware of over here in the West.
Absolutely. And I think the sorts of events that are going on in parts of Africa are really unknown to many people outside of the region. I mean, we have not just Boko Haram operating in that region that we call the Sahel region, which is sort of that band of grassland and savanna between the Sahara to the north, the big desert, and the jungles to the south, the Congo and so on. But right across that Sahel region, we have all sorts of different forms of terrorist insurgency. We have civil wars, we have political instability and small wars and so on. So we don't just have Boko Haram, we also have Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb operating in different guises around that region. We have groups that affiliate with the so-called Islamic State operating in places like what was formerly Libya and so on. Up there in the north, we have groups in Mali operating in concert with Al-Qaeda, but also with ISIS as well. And we also have you know, tribal groups like the Tuaregs and so on, who have traditionally been marginalized from some of the nation states in that region, who have their own sort of political freedom struggles, sometimes insurgencies, and sometimes they make terrible miscalculations like the Tuaregs did not that long ago when they seem to have actually affiliated themselves with Al-Qaeda for a time and lost a lot of their backing while they did it. So the whole region is very unstable. It's huge numbers of humans moving around, and these sorts of security problems are exacerbated by bad governance, an absence of strong nation states, very corrupt and dangerous militaries, and also very significant environmental problems in that part of the world as well.
Well, you kind of touched on it there when we were speaking about the way in which Boko Haram is operating as a guerrilla group, as a terrorist group, and the way in which the Nigerian military may be able to take on harder targets, may be able to take on material and locations like that. Is there another approach that needs to be taken to Boko Haram, either by the Nigerian military or Western intervention? Is there another approach that needs to be taken?
Oh, look, it's very, very difficult. One of the problems with Boko Haram is that it operates in a border region. So the area where it's mostly operating in Nigeria borders up against other states. It borders up against states like Niger and so on. And that means that small-scale insurgencies like Boko Haram can move across these borders into other regions, which means that any military response is only ever going to be effective if it's a regional coordinated response. I mean, there are big problems sometimes with these sorts of counter-terrorism responses by states actually spiraling out to become even worse security problems. For instance, if the Nigerian military forces were seen to be crossing borders and going into territory that wasn't theirs to try to track down Boko Haram elements, that can lead to larger military confrontations and escalations and so on. Nobody wants that. So the military response is one side of the response. You talk about allied intervention. Well, really, one of the issues there is that no one has that much of an interest in terms of the strong Western and European powers in that part of Africa. The French recently have intervened in Mali, largely because it's one of their old former colonial protectorates. We know the Americans have been intervening in the Middle East because of their own strategic calculations. And although Nigeria is the largest economy in Africa and the largest nation in Africa in terms of population, I mean, there are hundreds of millions of people, I think 270 million people in Nigeria. And although it has significant oil deposits, it's not really on the radar of any of the other Western powers or others to get involved in a counterterrorism operation there. It is just very remote. And, you know, apart from the odd headline about the atrocities that are going on, as you say, Sean, it's a long way away for most people.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julian, we will leave it there, but obviously a shocking situation. Do appreciate your insight into this one this morning.
No worries. Good talk to you, Sean.